You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
Except today we're not talking to Jamie Lee Ross. He's busy today, so we're talking to National MP Paul Foster Bell. Paul, are you there?
I am, Amanda. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you today. So I guess the first kind of question topic that I have for you today is about Transport Minister Simon Bridges. So he is claiming vindication after being cleared of trying to improperly influence officials into keeping a report secret. I guess, first of all, for people who weren't aware, what was this report about?
Well, look, it was a Kiwi Rail document. It was a business case, actually, that Kiwi Rail was working on. And actually, I think, as you've said, the Ombudsman's investigation did find that there was no issues with the process that was followed by the Minister's office. And I think the Ombudsman was really clear that the Minister's office was entitled to have a view on the information being released, and that escalating that information back to the senior management of Kiwi Rail, if there was a feeling that there was something there that crossed the line in terms of commercially sensitive information being released out, that was also appropriate. And the Ombudsman did say very clearly that Minister Bridges didn't cross any lines in his engagement with Kiwi Rail. So I think, you know, there are thousands of Official Information Act requests every year. As a public servant myself, a few years ago, before I came into Parliament, I used to deal with these myself. I know that they're dealt with very seriously, they're taken seriously, but sometimes for personal privacy or national security or commercial confidentiality reasons, it is appropriate that some information's been withheld. So that's the background anyway from my point of view.
But the Ombudsman, rather, the report does say that Kiwi Rail was right in the first place to decide to release it, saying that the Minister's concerns didn't quite stack up. In particular, it dismissed claims that the report should stay secret because it was a draft or could be misleading. What's your response to that?
Well, look, the Minister's been pretty clear that, you know, his office took a view on something. And that was a view that wasn't necessarily shared by the senior management of Kiwi Rail. So there was a difference of opinion there. But what the Ombudsman was really clear about is that it is appropriate for the Minister's office to be able to see these things before they're released. And it's also appropriate for Minister's offices to engage with their departments and to have that interaction. And it didn't cross any lines or engage in political interference. I mean, it's a difference of opinion about what elements of the business case may be suitable to be released. And I don't think it's an indication of anything, scarier than that, frankly.
All right. Also wanted to talk about the forthcoming immigration changes. So Prime Minister Bill English has been taking another look at some of those changes after feedback from the consultation process. The changes would have meant that any job earning less than $48,000 would no longer be considered skilled and would restrict skilled migrant visas to 3 years, after which applicants would have to exit the country and wait 12 months before becoming eligible again. So the government's now confirmed it will go ahead with the 12-month rule, but lower the minimum median annual income limit to $41,000. How significant is that, $7,000 change?
Well, look, we do think it will make some particular difference in the tourism and hospitality sectors, and also in the farming sectors, where there were concerns expressed that income level might actually rule out some very necessary and valuable workers who are unable to be replaced by Kiwis. There are parts of the country, you know, for instance, in the Southland dairy industry, there aren't available New Zealanders who are, you know, on benefits looking for work, ready to take up those positions. But let's be really clear about this. That threshold that's been reduced down to $41,000, or about 85%, it's 85% of the median wage, is only part of what's looked at when these temporary work visas are granted. And if you're on $41,000 a year, you still have to have a skill level that's assessed at being between 1 and 3 on the ANSCO skill scale. So if you're completely unskilled, that is, you're not doing a kind of work that's in really short supply, or you don't have the qualifications to back it up and you're coming into New Zealand, there's actually a requirement that you earn a much higher level than that $41,000 before that skill exemption is granted. It is actually a really complex area. There's lots of complex and overlapping rules here. But the key message is that we have to strike that right balance between making sure New Zealanders are at the front of the queue for jobs, but also ensuring that regions have access to temporary labour so that they can continue to grow economically and that jobs can be done. So, you know, I think we've struck a really good balance, and if you contrast it with the opposition parties, all of which want to decimate immigration numbers, they literally want to cut tens of thousands of immigrants, hard-working people who want to come to our country, out. We're striking a more reasonable balance where the numbers will have to fall a little because we're experiencing very, very high demand for places in New Zealand. But we're not talking about cutting out those tens of thousands of people that some opposition parties are.
So this isn't measuring skill just from the wages then?
No. It's not an either or. If you are extremely lowly skilled but have a high wage job offer here in New Zealand, you'll be able to come in. If you're extremely highly skilled, the wages of the job that you're doing are less relevant as well. But if you're in that mid-level, if you're in a mid-skilled job, there is going to be an income threshold of that 85% of the average wage. And if you actually break that down, we're not talking a huge threshold here. In many jobs, it'll be $20 an hour. And, you know, we wouldn't want to see employers taking advantage of international workers who are come here and prepared to work at the minimum wage when there are actually Kiwis who could fill those jobs. So it is a balancing act. It's not a black and white situation.
You mentioned the farming sector before, concerned about that threshold, but they're also concerned that that 12-month rule would make it hard to secure experienced long-term staff. What is the reasoning behind that 12-month rule?
Well, no, that's absolutely right. Excuse me. I think the other change that the agricultural sector will be looking at, which I think is going to be really positive, will be the introduction of a new category of farm worker. At the moment, it's really a blunt tool. So if you're if you're designated to be the manager of a dairy herd, you'll be at 5 out of 5 on the skills classification. If you're a farm labourer, a worker, you'll be at 1, but there's no provision at the moment for anything in between. So by introducing a new category at that 3 level, so 3 out of 5, I think you'll see a lot more people be able to take advantage of a farming job in New Zealand, but without disadvantaging New Zealanders. Again, this is all about making sure it's weighted so that Kiwis do get the first bite of the cherry, as it were, and that where there are gaps after that, they can be filled by foreign workers.
So whether they are on that 1, 3, or 5 or anywhere in that range that you're saying, are any of them eligible to stay for the more than 12 months?
Yeah, absolutely. There will be a large number who will be eligible to stay for the 3 years. And actually, what we've also done is we've looked at people who have come here. For instance, in the farming industry, a lot of people from the Philippines have come, and they're very good citizens, law-abiding citizens. And they're not yet New Zealand citizens, but they behave very well in a good citizen style. And eventually, I'd like to see, in some cases, those people able to renew their visas and to have sufficient residence here in New Zealand that they can become citizens, that they can apply for a permanent residence and then perhaps citizenship beyond that. You know, New Zealand is a country made up of migrants. My ancestors, as well as being Māori, came from Scotland and Portugal and other countries as well. And I want to see people given that opportunity, particularly where we've got those gaps and that we don't have Kiwis ready to do that work.
And just lastly, Labor's immigration spokesperson Ian Lees-Galloway says that this has the potential to drive down wages. Do you agree?
Look, I don't think so. I think we've very carefully tailored it so that those different skill levels and wages are balanced. By setting it at 85% of the New Zealand median income, which is $41,500 a year, and including that requirement that people be mid-skilled, so level 1 to 3 on the ANZCO skill rating system, I think we've quite carefully balanced it so that it doesn't actually lock New Zealanders out or encourage employers, frankly, to substitute cheaper migrant labour for Kiwis who are looking for that work.
Paul, thank you so much. Talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Amanda. Have a great day.
You too. Bye. Cheers. That was National MP Paul Foster-Bell speaking about the OIA ruling regarding KiwiRail and Simon Bridges, as well as forthcoming changes to immigration regulations.
That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross. The Wire.
It was Paul Foster-Bell, but that's fine.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.